Hello, welcome to Workplace Wake Up. I'm Jen Shaw. Every week, I spend about 15 minutes covering key legal developments, introducing you to interesting guests, and providing some entertainment to start your workday. I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Okay, we are going to talk about entitled employees. And here's what I mean by that. I have had a number of calls with clients this week where they tell me that their employees are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and the employer doesn't know what to do about it. I'll give you an example. Here in California, we have very strict meal and rest period requirements. So for non-exempt employees, okay, folks who are paid for every hour they work, every minute they work, every second they work, they have to take rest breaks and meal periods at certain times. So I've had one client called me and said, well, Jen, I know that the meal period has to begin before the end of the fifth hour at work for this employee, but they need to go pick up their kid at baseball practice. And so they asked me if they could just take the meal period later. Is that a problem? Well, yeah, you're supposed to give them the meal period before the end of the fifth hour at work. It's a safety issue. The California Supreme Court actually spent, 15 pages at least, talking about it in a very well-known decision called Brinker, where they were looking at meal period requirements and why it's so important to give people meal periods. So the client says to me, well, I know I've told this employee that they have to take the meal period on time, but they don't want to. So what do I do now? I don't know. You enforce your policy, right? Like sometimes I think we just forget. Look, we wrote a policy and now you have to comply with it. So the answer is no. No, you cannot take a later meal period. No, you cannot skip your rest break. No, you cannot work off the clock. No, you cannot leave early on Tuesday and work overtime on Thursday unless it's a legitimate makeup time request. I'm not going to let you do those things. No is a complete sentence, right? It's okay to tell your employees, no. No, we're not going to do that. No, it doesn't work that way. No, I need you to do it this way. Now, I know this might seem counterproductive because a lot of times on this podcast, I'm talking to you about things you can do to improve morale, how you can improve your retention and your recruitment, what to do to be a good employer, how to be an employer of choice. Yes, of course, but there are things you have to say no to. Right? My daughter is going into high school and we live in a very busy part of Sacramento. She wants to ride her bike from our house to the Whole Foods that's kind of by our house, but not really. And she's really upset because I've told her, I don't think it's safe for you to ride your bike. By the way, I don't think it's safe for me to ride my bike. There's not a sidewalk on one of the busy streets. So she'd be riding in the middle of, not the middle of the street, I guess, but on the edge of the street without a sidewalk. The cars turn left and right crazy. They run lights all the time. So even if she's in a crosswalk, it could be dangerous. And she's got a bike to deal with. And I guess I'm also not really thinking of her as a 14-year-old, which is my own issue that I need to work on. But she sat down and she wrote me this very persuasive essay at the direction of her language arts teacher as to why she should be allowed to ride her bike to the Whole Foods. And I read it and it was very well done. And she had a lot of good arguments about how great it would be. She could help me grocery shop and that would save me time and it would teach her independence and it would help her learn how to shop and she could have some free time. I mean, very good arguments. But in the end, I said no. In the end, I just decided, you know what? If you want to walk to Whole Foods with a friend, okay, and I know you're going to follow the crosswalks and all that, I feel safer with that than I do with the bike. Now, some of you probably disagree with that, and I might have it all wrong, but there's just something in my gut that says the bike is harder to handle. And we also have people who try to steal bikes in our neighborhood. So I'm worried that she's on the bike and someone wants to take the bike. So, you know, I'm one of those moms. I probably worry too much. I want her to have independence, but I also am okay saying no. We got to be okay saying no as an employer. And I think sometimes we feel like we're over a barrel because we have good employees. We don't want to lose them. We have work that needs to be done. And if it's something that especially if we like the employee a lot, because let's face it, we like some more than others. We're not supposed to admit that, but that's how it is. If we like them a lot, we're tempted to say, okay, yeah, go ahead. I mean, I should be saying no, but yeah, you can do it. You got to watch that, because when we're looking at this purely from a legal compliance perspective, and you're talking about how you can get in trouble with employment law issues, a lack of consistency is a big part of the problem. If you are not applying your policies fairly and consistently across the board to similarly situated employees, you could end up having a problem in this area. So you have to be able to tell people no. Now, sometimes you want to tell people no, but it's not fair and it doesn't make sense. And I'll give you an example. Many of us in the firm, in our firm, have kids, and our kids have spring break at the same time. Okay. So a couple of weeks ago, I was the only advice and counsel lawyer who was in the office for 4 days because everybody else had kids and they were out. I'm not going to tell them no. Of course, it would have been easier if they were here, but that's time with their family. Of course, they're going to take spring break. I'm not going to say, well, first person who signs up for it gets it. Nobody else does. It doesn't make any sense. That's not the time to say no, right? It was a rough week, but they all deserve their time off. I'm so glad they went, and I had no problem with it whatsoever. When we talk about saying no, you want to say no in the appropriate circumstance, right? And the thing is, you know this, you're HR professionals. I don't have to tell you this. It's the managers and supervisors who need a little bit of reminder about these situations. Because oftentimes what I see is that managers and supervisors feel so stressed, they feel so anxious about their own performance, making sure that they're meeting their goals, making sure their team is doing what they're supposed to be doing, making sure that everything's going the way it should be, that they say no when they shouldn't. And they're less kind than they should be. And they're less understanding than they should be. And that's definitely happened to me before, where I feel overwhelmed by whatever's going on, you know, too much work or a client who really needs something and I can't figure out how to get it done. And I'm not as understanding and empathetic as I should be. And it's something I definitely need to work on. We all need to work on that. So I'm not telling you to say no all the time, okay? But I want you to empower your leaders and your managers and supervisors to be able to say no, right? You have to wear your safety harness. You can't bring your kid to work. It's too dangerous. You can't take a late meal period. No, I don't want you to take your phone with you on vacation and answer calls. I want you to be on vacation. So I don't want you to be so afraid, or those folks to be so afraid of getting sued, that they don't effectively run the organization. Because what ends up happening when you say yes too much is that you then create this entitlement where people feel like they can do whatever they want to do. The handbook doesn't matter because you don't follow it anyway. The policies and procedures don't make any difference because you don't enforce them. And then you really have the fox guarding the chicken coop. It doesn't make sense. So one of the things Julia Melnikow-Ensel, she's our handbook guru in the firm. One of the things she tells folks all the time is, look, don't put it in your handbook if you don't want to do it. Because if you're going to put it there, you need to enforce it. And it could be something against you, like you are saying that the organization will give annual performance reviews. Well, if you say you're going to give annual performance reviews, you have to actually give annual performance reviews. And if you're not going to do that, don't put it in the handbook. Don't say you're going to do that. So in those handbooks and policies and procedures, you want to be clear about what your expectations are and what you're going to do in particular circumstances. And if the circumstances don't meet the policy or the procedure or the program, you got to say no. And those frontline managers and supervisors need to know that's okay. So oftentimes in this environment, we are giving bonuses for managers and supervisors who have less turnover, right? We're giving bonuses and kudos to managers and supervisors who have long tenured employees. And what you have to be careful of is by having those programs that you're not driving these folks to say yes when they should be saying no. Because in the end, that will bite everybody. In the end, if you're letting people do things like not take a meal period on time or work overtime without being paid for it, that's going to end up potentially being a huge legal liability. So if everybody understands up front, look, this is our handbook, this is our policy, this is the program, this is how it works, and they can see that you're consistently enforcing it and you're consistently applying those rules, you're golden, right? Everybody understands the rules of engagement. And I, for one, feel like I would much rather know, all right, what are the rules? Even if I disagree with them, at least I know what they are. And then I know that there'll be consequences for me not following them, rather than me trying to figure out where's the line, where's the bumper, where have I gone too far? So part of your compliance program, legal compliance from an employment law perspective, should be looking at those policies and procedures, looking at your practices, looking at your bonus programs, incentive programs, leave programs, that sort of thing, and really saying, okay, are these clearly written? Is it clear to employees what we are doing here? And then are we doing it consistently? Because at that point, you have dotted your I's and crossed your T's. At that point, you have said, this is what I want, and this is what how it's going to have to be. And there are some things you can be flexible on, but if you can't be flexible on it, don't say you're going to be flexible on it, right? And if you're going to take a firm stance, you've got to stand by that. You have to make sure that you're being consistent. Now, entitlement comes up in other ways with employees, right? So let's say you give a bonus every year and it's X percent, 20%, whatever. And then one year you give a 10% bonus and the employee says, well, what the heck? I mean, I usually get a 20% bonus. Well, we all know a 10% bonus is a great bonus, right? In any universe, in any organization. But we created the expectation that they were going to get 20% because for the past several years, that's what it's been. Be careful of those things too. When you create entitlements like that, then it is perceived as a takeaway when you have to change your practice. So those employers of ours who are overly generous, and I love them for it, right? They're so nice to their employees. They give them more than the employees are entitled to. The only downside is when they have to re-examine that practice because it's negatively affecting productivity or it's negatively affecting the bottom line, now when they go back to doing just what the law requires and no more, nothing extra, it feels like a takeaway to the employees. I tell employers, think really hard before you decide to do something extra, before you decide to do more than you're required to do. And make sure that it's set up in a way that you can sustain that, at least for current employees, unless something really unexpected happens. I mean, like COVID, right? There were folks who had no telework policies. COVID comes along and everybody's working at home. I totally get that. That's an intervening force that happened. Something that was unforeseeable. Something that we didn't think was going to happen and we had to make appropriate adjustments. But in the absence of those kinds of things, you want to make sure that you're following your procedures, following your policies, and if you give more than you need to, just understand what those consequences are. So remember, everybody, in your personal and your professional lives, no is a complete sentence, all right? Everyone, thank you so much for joining me today. I can't wait to be back with you next week. Go out and do something nice for someone. Thank you so much. Workplace Wake Up, including our guests and hosts, do not provide legal advice in this podcast. Do not act upon any of the information discussed in this podcast without first consulting a licensed attorney in your jurisdiction. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to spread the word, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and/or rate and review it. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and email us at info@shawlawgroup.com.